Welcome to the SME Community Podcast by Tipperary Local Enterprise Office with me, Aisling Hurley, the Business Fairy.
Today's episode is all about innovation. And of course, innovation is vital for small businesses, even though you might be a little bit nervous of the word, it's such a big word. If you're wondering whether it's relevant or not to your business, you just have to consider that there are many examples of companies running the world today that actually started as small enterprises. The visionaries behind these companies were innovators. They hit on a winning formula, and the rest, as they say, is history. So today we're going to learn about what innovation is and where do you start and how do you get help. The Innovation Voucher Scheme is specifically targeted to help companies with innovation. It was established to increase the interaction between publicly funded research organizations, such as universities and institutes of technology, and small and medium sized businesses in Ireland. The funding is provided by Enterprise Ireland, and here to give us more background and further information is Richard White of Design Plus, who manages the innovation voucher process for the Institute of Technology Carlow. So welcome, Richard. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem, Aisling. Thanks very much for having me on.
So this grant is a very specific type of grant. It can only be used to pay a university or an institute of technology, as we said, and it has to be one that's listed on Enterprise Ireland's designated providers list. The grant can't be used to pay private companies, but many businesses won't be used to working with academic institutions. You know, it can be a bit intimidating. So in layman's terms, what is an innovation voucher?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, exactly. Look, a lot of people aren't familiar with them, and they're not familiar with, I suppose, the availability of the opportunity to use innovation voucher. So what are we? So Design Plus, we're one of 16 gateways supported by Enterprise Ireland throughout Ireland. The gateways were set up as links to institute technologies to combine the resources and then between, I suppose, Enterprise Ireland and the institute technologies. Who can apply for vouchers and how do you apply for vouchers? So the vouchers are available for all SMEs. They're available for, once a company has a registered company registration number, they can then apply for an innovation voucher. The scope of the voucher is very broad and it depends specifically on what the company needs. So as I said, there are 16 different gateways and each gateway has its own speciality. We are Design Plus, so do focus on the design area, specifically around product design and design strategy. So that's where our full-time staff members focus on.
So I suppose that's one of the questions people might be wondering. Well, I have an idea, but I don't know where to go. I'm not sure. How do I pick? There's some sort of guideline to help you make that decision.
Yeah, exactly. So it depends on which gateway and you won't know. So there's different options there. So one option is on the Enterprise Ireland website in the innovation voucher section. They give a list of the different gateways and you can learn about which gateway might be suitable for you. Also, best way to go about it is speaking to individual gateways. So we regularly get companies contacting ourselves, whether coming through the Enterprise Ireland website, coming through our own website or social media, contacting us to see if it's something that we can work on. So how it would work would be company will contact us with their idea, with their potential project, from a conversation with them, which is usually just done over the phone, initial conversation, find out more about the project, and then we'd look into, okay, can we help out with this? Yes, we are Design Plus and we do focus on the design and product design side, prototyping. But as I said, we are linked to the Institute here in Carlow. So we have the resources of the Institute. So we're specific teams based in the engineering side, ICT and bioscience. So very broad areas. So a lot of the potential projects can cover those areas.
Yeah.
If somebody we speak to and is looking for a project that isn't suitable to ourselves, we can usually refer them to Gateway that would be able, they would be able to work with as well. So we do collaborate between ourselves and Enterprise Ireland.
And when people come to you with ideas, you know, is it a product or is it a service or could it be either or? You know, what are the typical type projects that you would see?
It's very mixed. I mean, you can look at our pipeline there and the projects we work on, it's a very, very broad area. But where a lot of the projects come from are possibly new ideas. So people who potentially are looking at different ideas that they see outside of their regular day-to-day experience. So people who might have backgrounds or hobbies and they're looking at those interests and going, okay, I think there's solutions out there that can improve this. So a lot of people come to us, they don't have the capabilities, they don't know where to go exactly in regards to, okay, how do I get a prototype? They don't know. They might go online and they see it can be quite costly. They see the high-end designers. So what we can provide is we can provide, I suppose, companies an opportunity to investigate, do some research into that potential product and see if it is something that's, if there is something there, is it something that's worth following? We also work with a lot of companies who are established, who are looking at maybe product development, looking at expanding, let's say, their current offering. An innovation voucher is, well, it's €5,000. It is very much, I suppose, scoping at research in the area to see, is there further development in the project?
Okay. And so how does it work? Let's say, but there's two type of vouchers, isn't there? One is fully funded and the other one is co-funded. So what does that mean if people are looking at it?
Yeah, there is. So there's four innovation vouchers available now to clients who are eligible. Three of the vouchers are the €5,000. And then there's one co-funded voucher, which is up to €10,000. Enterprise Ireland will match your contribution of up to €5,000. So the original, the €5,000 vouchers, they are usually the first voucher most clients use. They apply for a voucher when they receive it. They can then transfer to the knowledge provider and the knowledge provider works on the project. Then the client does need to pay the VAT on all the vouchers.
Yeah, that's a key point. Sometimes people forget that bit.
Yeah, it is. And it is important. So what we would ask for is that once we've agreed on the project, we've agreed on the deliverables, the client pays the VAT, €1,150 on a €5,000 voucher. They pay that at the start of the project. And it's kind of used as a kickoff. It's important. Once we get that, then we're agreeing. We're now working on the voucher. We're focusing on the project. It's kind of used like a deposit in a way to start off the voucher. At the end of the project, then the client does receive their invoice, so they can claim the VAT back if they're an established trading company.
Okay, so potentially you can go for three vouchers then.
Well, you can go for four vouchers, actually. So you could use, so we'd have a lot of clients who we'd bring in at a very, very early stage. €5,000 in an innovation voucher does seem like a lot of money, but when you start breaking it down into the hours that have to go into a project, especially when it's a design project, and the research needs to be done into the background, you know, the project can be, the €5,000 doesn't, you know, last as long as some people, unfortunately, would like it to last.
Yeah.
We also have the capabilities to provide prototypes. I think anybody out there who has an idea of developing a project, developing a product, they do want a prototype. I think that's what's important, something that they can physically have to see if it works, or even if it doesn't work, to really see, okay, these are mistakes, this is where we need to progress from. So we try to get clients, you know, a prototype at some stage during the first few vouchers that can then be modified. So as we map out the four stages, voucher 1, 2, 3, and 4, probably usually number four could be the co-funded, but it could be number three. It doesn't have to be down number three or four. But we map out the full process with the project for clients. So a client can receive up to €25,000 of funding. They would have paid €5,000 for that. But just remember, they will also have paid the VAT on the full amount. So in a co-funded voucher of €10,000, the client pays the VAT, which is €2,300. If you look at it, it is a good, it's a lot of work that they receive for what they're putting into it. And by coming through Enterprise Ireland and the gateways, they're minimizing their risk, really, in a research project like this.
Oh, it's a great resource to have. And I mean, I think the VAT element, okay, it's a bit painful for cash flow, but it's really a sign of your commitment as well, isn't it?
That's it, exactly. And I think I used the word deposit. It's not quite a deposit, but we use it as, okay, once it's paid, then we're kicking off, because it is a commitment from the client. It's important that, you know, our team will be fully committed to the project. This will be a main focus. So it's important that we're getting both ways, and the client are also committed to, okay, over the next agreed period of time, whether it be 4 or 5, 6 weeks, that, okay, this is the main focus. And we do need, you know, client engagement as well.
And I mean, that's fantastic. Can a project, that was one of the questions actually that people would probably be interested in knowing more about, how long does it take? Now, I know in one way it's how long is a piece of string, but on, you know, people might be worried when you're an entrepreneur, everything has to be done today or yesterday. So, you know, when you're dealing then with academic institutions, things just move slower. It's just the way it is. And research takes time and whatever. But, you know, on average, can you give any sort of indication?
Yeah, I do. And I think what's important to understand as well is, yes, you are dealing with a third level provider, but it depends on what the client is looking for. So if you are a complete startup who is starting from scratch, from your initial conversation, okay, I'm going to apply for a company registration number, I'm going to apply to be a limited company, that can take 2 to 3 weeks before once that happens. Once you get your company registration number, you can then apply for an innovation voucher. Again, once the voucher goes in, that can take between 2 to 3 weeks. It may take longer, but on average, it's 2 to 3 weeks. So usually we would be engaged with the client throughout the process. Okay, we know when they got their registration number. We know when they're applying for an innovation voucher. So we can line up a start date during that process. We can have meetings that we're going to agree on the deliverables for the project. So it's not a case of, when you get the voucher, let's start discussions. We're doing that throughout the process. So yeah. That when the voucher is approved, which could be 6 or 7 weeks down the line from the first maybe application for a CRO number, we'll know in advance, okay, when we're going to start. So then if we agree, okay, we're going to start, say, the first week of May, we'll know how long the project's going to take. You know, the projects can take between 4 and 6 weeks, but that's a standard, say, on average innovation voucher. We've worked with clients who have come to us who maybe not for the initial first project, but people come to us after maybe we've done some work. Because we do have the ability to provide prototypes, we do get a lot of companies come to us outside the innovation voucher process looking for direct funding, which we can turn around quite quickly because they don't need to go through the application process. And that's just companies, I suppose that's more industry-led and being up to speed with, I suppose, industry demands. But I would say for an innovation voucher, from maybe the very first discussion to the CRO application to the innovation voucher to the completion, then you probably are talking at about between 12 and 15 weeks.
Okay, which is actually very good. Does that depend on, you know, Carlo could be particularly good or, you know, is it meant to, it's just meant to take that time, not any longer?
It depends. It depends on the project. It depends on the availability of the PIs, the principal investigators who are going to work on the project. You know, obviously now, say if we're using resources in the college, it's going to be a little bit slower because of the academic year.
Yeah.
But we look at our design team, our product design, and our strategic design team, they're full-time working on innovation vouchers. So I think that's important to know. Most of the every gateway would have full-time staff working on vouchers. They're not just relying on the lecturers and researchers in the institutes. So these staff members are fully available to work on vouchers. So that will be a standard time for them. And then obviously it depends on the number of vouchers that people are that a gateway is dealing with at a time.
Yeah.
What are big projects that might come in?
That's fantastic. I mean, I think it's really, you know, that's
the majority of projects we do.
Yeah, that amount of time is really great because it's something that an entrepreneur can live with, you know, because there's nothing as frustrating when you're trying to get something off the ground and it's just taken so long. So it's actually brilliant to hear that. So have you any examples of, you know, what would be a good project for an innovation voucher?
As well as that, with the design side, we focus on a lot of prototyping.
Yeah.
We've worked on a number of projects, and I can't go into too much detail in regards to the project, but we've worked on a number of different designs from in the health and fitness industry, creating devices, designing devices, manufacturing companies, IT is very popular, food and drink sector, quite popular. Recently as well, through InsureTech here in Carlow, we're doing a lot of work on the insurance and financial side. A lot of that would be focused in the design strategy area.
Yeah.
And engineering would be one of our core areas where we do a lot of projects, and probably a lot of the bigger projects develop into partnerships from the innovation vouchers would come from the engineering sector.
And just tell us a bit about the rapid prototyping and 3D printing. I mean, that's a fantastic opportunity for a business, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. So, as I mentioned earlier, we're led by industry. So I suppose the industry needs is where what guides us, what we need to do. Enterprise Ireland have capital calls where the knowledge providers can make an application for, I suppose, machinery that's going to provide what industry needs. So over the last number of years, we've received two different 3D printers, and we are receiving a newer printer this year, which is just, I mean, top of the range printer. So what we can do then is provide pieces, we can provide prototype and physical that they can look at, but we also can get manufacturing parts for companies who can use them on a daily basis. I suppose some of the benefits of using ourselves for the 3D printing is that 3D print machines are quite expensive.
Yeah,
companies,
huge.
You know, yeah, exactly. So a lot of companies aren't in a position where they want to invest in a 3D printer. They can come to ourselves and get parts with us. And especially when it's for a research project that they don't know if the part's going to be right, if they don't know if the design is going to be right, they can get a 3D print of it, have a look at it, and then go, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is the changes that we need to make on it as well.
That's all included within the innovation voucher, or is that something that's extra on top of the innovation voucher?
It all depends. So what's in an innovation voucher? So depending on the scope of a project. So, you know, as I said, we have the 5,000 euros and the 10,000 euros. So we're working is to, okay, what are the agreed deliverables in a project? So,
yeah,
you know, everybody's different, Ashton. So if somebody comes to us with the idea of, I have something here, they've no 3D CAD drawings, they don't even have a design of what they're looking for, but they want to prototype realistically, that's not going to happen in the first voucher. That's one of those situations where we'd be creating a plan over 1, 2, 3 vouchers, depending on what the client is willing to put into it. Or you will have someone who's come to us with 3D CAD drawings, and they've come up with the design, they've maybe worked, they've possibly come from an engineering background, they have capabilities themselves, but they don't have access to a 3D printer, and they're looking at maybe finalising drawings, finalising the design, and then possibly getting a prototype within the voucher as well. Usually prototypes, they are quite small, you know.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned, we do work with industry directly. Companies would contact us on a weekly, monthly basis, looking for different parts that we can do in the 3D printers. Once, you know, we engage them and have the drawings and the drawings ready to go, I suppose.
So that's a brilliant resource. So they don't need to go through an innovation voucher for that service.
No, they don't. They don't. And I suppose companies usually come back to us after using the innovation voucher, and that's where the direct funding can be quite popular. It's usually with more established companies who, I suppose, don't mind looking at the outputs and going, okay, well, going to Design Plus, it's going to be a better option than looking into the possibility of getting a 3D printer. Our turnaround will be very quick as well.
Okay, so the great news is if you have an idea and it's literally on the back of a cigarette packet, you can go to you guys, and hopefully through 3 or 4 innovation vouchers, you'll get what you need. One thing that entrepreneurs get very hot under the collar about is if the voucher is used for a new design of a new product or a new service, where does the IP rest, or what's the situation with that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ashley. A lot of clients do ask us that, and it's very usually at very, very early stages. So with the innovation vouchers, the IP rests with the client 100%.
Fantastic.
If they were to progress to an innovation partnership, which is the, I suppose it's the next, it's a big step up from the vouchers, they can go up to 250,000 with Enterprise Ireland providing 80% of the payment for it. The client contributes up to 20%. When project gets to that size, there would be discussions regarding heads of agreement. But for the innovation vouchers, 100% with the client. We can sign NDAs, but usually it's in our contract. What we do, working through Enterprise Ireland IT Carol, that is not necessary, but the client goes on to the IP.
That's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing to lose really by going for an innovation voucher at all.
There's not. No, I mean, it's a great service. It's there. It's definitely everybody to be able to utilize it. If for some reason someone doesn't tick the box in regards to being an SME, you know, if the option for the direct funding is there. But you know, what I always say to the clients we speak with is, you know, the innovation vouchers are there. It's really about giving someone an opportunity to potentially look at a project that, you know, they wouldn't look at otherwise, or might be pushed down the line a little bit. It minimizes the risk when looking into this project as well, which I think is key. You know, we'd advise, you mentioned there, the whole idea of someone has something on their head, or it's drawn out the back of a pack of cigarettes. People might laugh, but that does happen. People come to us and they don't really have anything, but they have this idea. And it might be someone over the last couple of years sitting at home, and they could be going, do you know what? I just don't like the way that bike works. I don't like the way the remote sits like that. I don't like the way something is designed. And they can come to us and discuss it. And there is possibilities there. You know, we look at all projects, you know, companies who are looking at product development, looking at, you know, creating innovation into their day-to-day products, both from a product point of view, real life, what can we change, to also the design side, you know, looking at, okay, how do we get to that next step? How can innovation help us get to that next step?
That's absolutely brilliant. And I think many people don't realize that you can use an innovation voucher for that. You know, people might be aware of innovation voucher somewhere, you know, in the ether and just associated with products, you know, or new tech or something like that. But the fact that you can actually look at it for processes.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. As I said, Lynn and Kyle went into a bit more detail, but you're looking at that all, taking a step back and, you know, how can innovation develop the business, you know, creating strategic roadmaps, putting innovation in place of how it's going to develop business down the line. And we've done a lot of work with different companies. Lynn and her colleague Colin have developed a program where we would work with up to 10 companies at one time, doing workshop masterclasses. And it is about creating that innovation, how it helps the workplace. Probably one of the areas that has progressed over COVID, because we're doing it online. We have our studio here on campus here in IT Carlo, which is great. But obviously with COVID, everything went online, but it makes it that bit easier because we've a broader reach now. So we've been doing projects with and vouchers with companies throughout Ireland. And it's usually on a weekly basis where they do their 2 to 3 hour masterclass over a number of weeks.
It's brilliant. And I think, you know, the one brilliant thing about COVID has been the level of embracement for tech, you know, that, I mean, because one thing, when you're running a business, you are up to your eyes trying to do 101 different things, you know, whatever the size of the business, really. And I think if you can do something online like that, it's absolutely fantastic, because it means you hang up and you can get straight back to work again.
That's it. That's it, 100%. So previously, we would have done a lot of these workshops face-to-face. And as well, it probably would have been with maybe one, two people from the business. But now we're able to do them with companies who can, as you said, it's okay, it's booked in. It's from 10 to 12, maybe on a Tuesday morning. Employees can log in from their desk and we can get multiple employees joining the calls, so that maybe more people are gaining from the workshops. We've done a lot of that style, where it used to be maybe one-on-one, but now it's more of a group session, and it's been really beneficial. I think companies are getting a lot from it as well.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. So if someone has an idea or a light bulb is going off as we're talking and they're, okay, I'm going to give this a go, I'd like to explore this idea, what are the first steps they should take?
Yeah, so I suppose the first thing is, if somebody does have an idea, depending on where they are in the country, what their idea is, go to the Enterprise Ireland website, get onto the innovation voucher section. That can give a full list of all the different gateways and they get all the details of who to contact from there. If someone wants to contact ourselves, we do the website, www.designtrust.ie, or through the IT Carlo website, you get our details as well. Through social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, also contact us. Fortunately, as I said, we are linked to the institutes, technology around the country, and soon to be university in the next couple of weeks.
Congratulations. So
thanks very much. Very exciting times. So there'll be hopefully some collaboration there between the gateways, because Waterford, they've their three gateways, so there's potential for a collaboration there, which is exciting. But if somebody wants to reach out to us, the first thing is, I'd recommend getting in touch with a knowledge provider. Rather than going and looking to apply for the application themselves, I'd speak to a knowledge provider first. And the reason being, it can kind of set the expectation of what can be done, what you would get from a project. There's no point someone sitting at home coming up with an idea, putting the effort, getting the application, and they're expecting a list of deliverables, including a fully working prototype by the end of one voucher, and this is what they have their heart set on. Because when they speak to the individual gateway, they might be, okay, this is the plan. It's going to take, you know, 3 vouchers to get to where you want to go, and the client might be disheartened. So I'd always recommend speaking to a gateway. You know, if people ring, we might be on a daily basis speaking with potential clients. And even if it's not something we can help them out on, we can guide them, okay, this gateway might be able to help you. We can also offer advice in regards to the application as well, which can be useful.
That's absolutely brilliant. It's a great tip. Because as you say, someone could spend an awful lot of time, you know, putting loads of effort into this, and you could have got way more value actually just by picking up the phone and having a chat first.
Exactly, and the Innovation website is very useful because, you know, if someone isn't eligible for an innovation voucher, there's different streams there. There's different options, so they can see what exactly is there from Enterprise Ireland.
Brilliant. And just to clear up that although it is funded by Enterprise Ireland and it is an Enterprise Ireland innovation voucher, you do not have to be an Enterprise Ireland client to go for this.
No, not for the innovation voucher. So as I said, once you have a company registration number, or if you register as a limited company, you can then apply for a voucher. If you're looking at some of the bigger options, the bigger funding streams down the line, there would be further requirements. But no, so this is the link between Enterprise Ireland and then the say for ourselves, the Institute of Technology here. And I think it's also important to remember, and we mentioned it earlier, that while you are dealing with an education provider, your dedicated team are full-time working on these projects, both from product design, strategic design, and also from the background as well, from a finance and admin point of view. So we are fully focused on these vouchers. So I think that's important, because sometimes people kind of think, okay, they're going into the education system. It's not the priority, but it is. We're very much here on a full-time basis to, I suppose, help industry.
That's great to know as well. And then it doesn't matter what time of year you go, because that's the other thing people could be considering. Oh, if this is going to be done by, let's say, students or something, there's no point going in the summer. But actually, it doesn't matter.
No, exactly. For the majority of projects, it doesn't matter. If you are doing some projects, say, outside of the design side on the engineering, the ICT or the bioscience, we will be dealing with the academic staff. So there is potential for certain times of the year that are going to be busier than others. Coming up to exam time, it's going to be a bit slower, but it's different. We would set the expectations with the client prior to kicking off on the individual project.
Which is, it's all about communication, isn't it?
100%. That's what I said. It is. And that's key for everything. And I think the best step, that's what I said, first step, I do pick up the phone and to try getting in contact with a knowledge provider. And that's the best way to go about it. You could be contacting the wrong gateway. They could be slow coming back to you just because they're extremely busy. But yeah, I think just communication is key.
Oh, that's brilliant. Richard, thank you so much for that. That was really brilliant information and great tips there for anybody who's considering doing it.
Brilliant. No problem, Ashley.
Well, we've just heard from Richard about how we go about getting an innovation voucher. And now we're actually going to talk to a lady called Lynn Whelan, who is a senior design strategist in Design Plus Technology in IT Carlo. So Lynn's job involves her actually working on these innovation vouchers. So Lynn, people might not be familiar with what a design strategist is. Can you explain a bit about that and what it is in layman's terms?
Certainly, yeah. Hi, Aisling. Good to chat with you this morning. Yeah, design strategy, I suppose, is an emerging field in Ireland. But as a design strategist, basically what I'm doing is I'm working with companies every day, and we're using a design approach to develop strategies for growth and innovation. So we're supporting those companies on their growth and innovation journey. And design strategy just means we're using design techniques and approaches to do that. So for example, a company would come in and we would bring them through a series of workshops as an approach to working with them. So pre-COVID, they would come in and visit us in our design studio. We bring them through a particular process that we have. It's a theoretical process, but we've translated it to make it really accessible for companies and really actionable in relation to results. So they come in with us and we have lots of design tools that we use to help support the process that we're going through. And we're doing lots of visual mappings, building on ideas and evaluating ideas and helping people to sort of untangle where they are, identify the opportunities that are all around them, and help them to navigate any barriers that might be in their way. And as I said, the main thing is about making it actionable. So we always end with sort of road mapping techniques, and we create lovely roadmaps together with the companies to help connect them onto the next stage of that journey, of that innovation journey. So whatever we can help to identify as a new thing for them, whether that's new processes, new products, new markets, new ways of doing things, it can be a huge amount of different things that can happen. Innovation by its very nature, I suppose, is unknown outcomes. If we know what it is we're aiming for, that's just development. Innovation in itself is absolutely unknown outcomes. So it's a risky space for people. They, you know, especially when you're in an SME and you can be quite swamped doing lots of jobs, lots of daily you know, activities that you need to keep your company going. Innovation can be a challenging thing to approach. So the innovation vouchers are particularly relevant for SME markets. They can access this as supported by Enterprise Ireland and the local enterprise boards to have facilitators like myself, but also to have that financially supported to allow them the space to actually look at those opportunities. And it's all about really creating those dynamic companies that are competitive and nimble and sort of more adaptable to change. And that's why they are supported, and rightly so. So it's been a really successful area, the innovation vouchers in relation to local enterprises and Enterprise Ireland. So we're delighted to support companies on that and to apply these strategic design approaches and bring them through these series of workshops with us in Design Plus.
It's brilliant. It's really such a fantastic resource. And I think maybe a lot of smaller companies in particular mightn't even realize it's there. I love this whole idea of taking, you know, a design approach and then applying that to a business strategy. And it's definitely a growing area, isn't it? That whole
design. It is. Mm. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, if we look to other countries, even, I suppose my own background, I've had experience as an owner manager in sort of technology and innovation space, but I have a degree in product design innovation originally, a master's in design research. And I'm currently on a doctorate part-time and a PhD for strategic design for innovation. And I've actually visited other countries and looked at design strategy and how it's applied there, or these design approaches. And in a lot of cases as well, it is linked to institutes and universities. So similar to ourselves at IT Carlow, you know, that we're in a position that we can support industry in that way. And the design approach is, you know, it's firstly about people, I think, is the one thing to say, which is a really nice thing. So it's people are at the center of it, and it's looking at people's motivations and their drivers, their vision, their ambition, their capability, their resources and capacities. You know, it's really, really important. And not just end users, which are hugely important if you're in sort of a product sphere, but the owner managers themselves, for starters, about what their vision and ambition is, but also all of the stakeholders within their ecosystem, all the people they're dealing with, whether it's employees or funding streams or supply chains, understanding the motivations and drivers of people involved in all of that is really important, because, you know, a person's motivation can be the barrier if it's not aligned, or if there's no sort of shared context or understanding about what people are trying to achieve. That can cause barriers to growth. So it's about getting in, first of all, and understanding that and supporting the owner managers even to understand themselves, the vision for their own enterprise. It's about taking them, I suppose, out of the everyday. Visual mapping is another technique that's used to help do that, to look at the big picture thinking, you know, so coming out of the everyday and having a chance to do that and thinking about, well, what does this company mean to me? Is this a legacy business for my children, for example? Is this a business I'm trying to build to sell? Is this a business that's just there to sustain me? And what does that look like? And it's really important to have the time to think about, to understand what you're trying to achieve, and then begin to map out the opportunities around that.
I think that's brilliant. And it's great to hear you you know, talking about different, I mean, the reality of entrepreneurs and small businesses, it could be just a business that's supporting you or maybe a couple of staff, and that's okay. A lot of the time, I think, you know, it's all about scale. But, you know, that's impossible for many people. It's really, really difficult.
Absolutely.
To scale a company. Yeah. So it's fantastic that you are looking as well. You obviously do get, you know, micro businesses in to work with you, do you?
Absolutely. And oftentimes it's not necessarily about, as you said, grow in that sense of sort of, there's different ways to grow. So it, like I said, it's about often, first and foremost, getting that sort of adaptability to change. That's what makes a kind of a resilient company and a sort of more longer term sustainable company. And that's probably the first thing to achieve is trying to get a core that's sustainable and techniques and ways within your business that will allow you to adapt to change quickly and nimbly and to look and identify opportunities and know how to leverage those opportunities and understand ways to do that and the networks that are around you to support you doing it within the Enterprise Ireland and Leo networks. So it's about that first and foremost. The growth comes naturally from there because you have something sustainable now and you have a core and you have a clear understanding and a good strategy going forward about your capabilities and identifying opportunities.
So Lynn, let's say somebody has an idea, you know, what stage would you see that, or how well formulated is that idea? Or, you know, is it a thing that somebody's sitting there in their business going, actually, I think this might work over here, but I don't really know that. I kind of just have a good feeling. I think this will work. Is it that kind of situation, or are people coming when they need to develop maybe a whole new strategy for their business? You know, I don't know if COVID has played into that a bit in terms of people trying to pivot, or what are you seeing?
Yeah, COVID certainly has had a huge impact on obviously so many businesses. And, you know, some have been actually more successful and been able to tap into new things and new needs, and others have been, you know, quite crushed with COVID impacts. In general, we have companies from all sectors, and I suppose that's important to say, first of all, this extends way beyond just sort of a product thing, which people often associate with design. So we're talking about strategic design. It's applicable to all sectors. So I work with food and drink. I work with craft. I work with engineering. We work with retail, you know, all sorts of organizations from all sectors. We work with insurance and finance. So it's a very broad spectrum, but also the point in their journey. So it's not necessarily about being a young company or being a startup or having an idea. It's about where they are on their innovation journey. They might be quite large organizations. We've worked with some huge multinationals, but they're starting at a position on an innovation journey, and that's where we come in to support them. But also we have people coming up, maybe have no ideas. They kind of, it could be in retail, for example, which happens. We have people, they're kind of going, I'm in retail. How can I innovate? How can I, you know, do anything? I have to wait for people to come in the door sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. So, I mean, you could... Yeah. Be in a situation where you're not sure what you need to do, but you know you need to do something. Is that right?
Absolutely. And
brilliant.
That's a good space for us. You know, that we can hopefully add great value in that space. So we do get a lot of people coming in kind of going, yeah, I feel I'd like to do something. I've no particular idea. This is who I am and this is the company. I've no idea where to go next or what I should be looking at. Equally, they may come and they say, I have so many ideas. I don't know which one. I don't know when. I don't know how. And again, that's great. That's a perfect space for us to actually work and support those companies. So, you know, the first stage of the sort of process that we apply is what we call a mapping exercise. So we're looking at that sort of ecosystem, whether it's around the business itself or the person or an idea or a product, whatever it may be, we do some sort of mapping and visualizing around that, because it's amazing when you see something mapped out in front of you, something that you're working in every day. But when you have somebody neutral like myself to ask you the questions and challenge your thinking, we're introducing that critical thinking to the business. You're challenging the thinking, you're mapping it all out in front of them, and it's very visual. It's not about me coming in to tell somebody a correct way to do things. It becomes self-apparent through this process. We can see it quite clearly where opportunities are coming out from that mapping and where those barriers and challenges are. And from that, then we can work through our tools and techniques to build on the ideas, and most importantly, to evaluate the ideas. And this is often missed. And this is the one where we now have loads of ideas, but which was the right one and how do we know? Again, it doesn't come down to me or a single manager or anybody else. We have a very kind of robust evaluation process, which supports company owners in their decision making. So we look at the key, I suppose, one of the core elements of design is three things in that evaluation: usability, feasibility, and viability. So we're looking under those headings and we explore all the ideas under those headings, and it helps really support the decision making for the owner. And we do that together. And from that decision making, we then have clear rationale. We now have a rigor to that kind of process. We have you know, we have support and backup in that we can, that can validate our ideas and where we want to go going forward. It makes it easier to invest in. It makes it more investable for other people to invest in. And so what we do then is we create our strategic roadmap. So we then map that into something actionable. And that makes it so much easier for a person to approach, for example, back to the Leo to say, okay, I'm actually looking now for the next stage. I'm actually quite confident in the direction I want to go in now. Here it is laid out as a roadmap. And it's very easy for that Leo or other funding stream or an investor to actually access that, read it and see what's happening and where they want to go.
Brilliant.
Far easier to attract that additional support when you have a really clear understanding yourself of where it is you're trying to go and why.
So you mentioned a couple of things there, usability and feasibility. So, you know, let's say you've identified something and it looks like there might be something there. So now we need to test, right, is that actually feasible? So is there another step then after this process, or what happens there?
Absolutely. What we're getting to then is, like I said, this roadmap where we have now some clear rationale of an idea going forward, whether that idea is to change something within the organization, a process or an approach or the business model itself, supply chains, anything like that, whether it's a new market, a new service, a new product, whatever the ideas are that are coming out that we want to actually action and implement based on all that sort of decision-making and process. We've roadmapped now, and what we do is we connect them very carefully. We have, through the Technology Gateway Network, there's a huge amount of resources there that we can connect those companies with for all sorts of huge variety of supports. There's 16 gateways, I think, at this stage around the country, all with different specialisms. We're the design, Design Plus Technology Gateway, but we're all interconnected and we can access those supports. The funding is there as well. And as I said, when you go back to, for example, your local enterprise like Tipperary, if you did want to develop that idea and it needed, for example, a pilot study or some further research, you can apply for feasibility studies, and this would be a natural kind of progressive next step. And again, there's funding there, there's resources, as in skill sets, you know, people that can come in and help support you, as well as funding to develop that into the next stage. And that's the whole idea, particularly with the roadmap, that nobody sort of falls off a cliff, as we say, actually, but, you know, that we very carefully connect them back to local enterprise, to the gateway networks or any other supports that they need, whether it's financial and or soft skills from somebody to help and support that development.
And what I love about this, and I hope what, you know, what people are learning just from listening to both yourself and Richard talking, is it's like a holistic view. And, you know, the innovation voucher, it's not something that just happens on its own, external to the business. You go do that project, you know, it works out or it doesn't, and that's it. What I'm really enjoying hearing about this is that there's an actual map, or there's a plan, the whole thing connects together. I don't know if you've ever, I suppose one thing I think we might be a bit hesitant about in Ireland, or that we're not very good at, we do have a great entrepreneurial space, you know, when you're out talking to people from different countries or whatever, they say, oh, Ireland, great space for startups, but we're not really good at failing, you know, or if something goes wrong, and we don't really embrace that as a way of learning. It's like, you know, there's almost this thing of, oh, hang your head in shame kind of thing, you know. It didn't work out, I can't go back there. But have you had situations with the innovation vouchers where somebody thought, oh, this is a dead cert, but then actually taking the time out to look at it and finding, oh, this is not really going to work at all. It's not practical.
We have a huge, in that sense, we have a huge, a very high percentage of people who come in with one particular, maybe if they do have a specific idea, that it's not a case of whether that's the right or wrong thing. Often it's a version of that, but it's often something else. And it's only by looking at that whole holistic picture and business modeling, as well as technical feasibility, as well as usability, all of those factors coming into play and assessing it. Oftentimes things can change and bigger and different ideas become apparent, and better and stronger you know, ideas can come up by going through these workshops. And the whole point of this space and this strategy space first is to allow that to happen. It's a really important thing to allow things to be evaluated and decisions made for things. Nope, that's out now. This is in. Here's another new thing. And we refer to it as a safe space, Ashley, for that purpose. You know, these workshops are a safe space. In many ways, it's the space to play devil's advocate with your idea. We absolutely turn it on its head, inside out and upside down. So there's no surprises down the line where suddenly you've invested money or somebody else has invested money and something comes up that, you know, wasn't considered. It's really about all things considered. So you have something really strong going forward. And it is a safe space to do that. We literally, we always refer to it as we walk a mile in your shoes. We're trying to get our head into that space.
I love that.
As much as we can. And walk with you on it and play devil's advocate with it. And it's a real time to hammer it out. It's a very creative space as well. We facilitate it all. Like I said, we normally would have people come into the studio before COVID. We've had to do a big transition since COVID, but we're now working with people online. And we still have the same ability to do our visual mapping, which is a crucial part of the whole process. And what we use now is digital whiteboards. So we've gone very high tech, Aisling, but in our digital whiteboards,
the markers
on the wall. So we're now using digital whiteboards. So we use one called Miro or Miro. It's M-I-R-O. It's a free version of it. It's a really user-friendly digital whiteboard. So we would work on things like Microsoft Teams. So we'd go on a video call with the owner or with a team now, because before COVID, oftentimes, you know, it's difficult to travel and come to the studio as a group of you, you know, so we might have only got one manager. But now on Teams, other employees or parts of the management team can all join because it's much more accessible to jump on online. We open up the digital whiteboard and we work through our workshops. We're visually mapping. We're asking the same questions. We're using the same tools now in a digital version.
Yeah.
And we go through the process like that. And we found it's been far more efficient. And we've been back in the studio now since September. And we're still doing everything online. All our clients are still remaining to work with us online. They find it's successful and it's working for everybody. And it's a lot more efficient.
Yeah.
So that's been a change. But like I said, we still have all the lovely visual cues that we would normally use in our visual mapping. These huge digital whiteboards allow us to sketch, allow us to put our post-it notes and our video links or images, text, anything we want. It's actually a lovely multimedia way we can approach it now, as opposed
to brilliant.
On the wall, you know?
Yeah, so that's a good tip for anybody listening, the Miro tool. Yeah, we use one that's similar called Mural. And has been absolutely brilliant as well, particularly when we're working with clients trying to explain, you know, different processes or trying to work through something with them. It's fantastic because it's visual. Yeah, they're great tools.
Visual mapping is a really important part of the process that we use. Again, just to look and create those shared contexts, because it's amazing, actually, you could sit in a room with somebody if they were to walk in and meet you in the studio and they say, I have this idea, and they describe it. And if there's five of us in the room, we'll all interpret that in our head as to something completely different. It's just very natural that we do that. So the Miro board is really important, that we're sketching things out, that we're looking at ideas, that we're, you know, we all get to create this, what we call shared context. We're all literally coming from the same page. And the Miro board allows people from different locations to all work on the same board. And it's all captured then at the end that we can share back with the company or the organization. So they have all of those notes and all of that work that was done as well.
And it's brilliant, I think, as well, as you were saying, if you do have a bigger team, you get everybody's input, because sometimes, you know, you as a manager are thinking, oh, this would be amazing, you know, it will result in X, Y, and Z. But actually, if you were to implement that on the ground, sometimes in the operational space, it's just not going to work at all, or it's going to create big bottlenecks for people. So by getting everybody on board in the beginning, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, you get a fantastic overview.
Absolutely. And, you know, we often look, when we're looking at strategies, if you're moving into slightly bigger organizations, so if it's more than, you know, a handful of people, employees, and we do work with some of the larger organizations as well. You know, there's often times where a business strategy is created. So you'd work on supporting that, using these approaches and creating a business strategy. But when it comes to that implementation, that action piece with the roadmap, sometimes if it's a bigger organization, you know, a second strategy is developed there as to how to create that as an operational strategy then, you know, to make sure that that implementation is going really well. And so there's a connectivity, and all of this visual mapping and shared context is really important to help that flow of information, even in those larger organizations as well, to translate that kind of business and operations that they're working together, you know.
Yeah. And you've mentioned as well there, I think people sometimes think as well, okay, I just, you know, get the innovation voucher, choose whatever knowledge provider is going to provide it, which is what Cardo IT would be, just hand it over and that's it. Maybe there's not that much interaction, but you're talking there about really deep interaction. So does the way you approach working with an innovation voucher differ maybe to what people might think it is, or, you know?
I would say yes, Ashley, and I think how the innovation vouchers operate across all of the different providers, they all probably have a different approach because the different skill sets, I suppose, they're bringing and different supports. But with us and with the design strategy area, we work with the company, with that owner manager, with that person with the idea. And we do a series of workshops with them over a period of weeks, you know, maybe sort of 4 to 6 weeks. We would work on an innovation voucher with them, and we would meet every week for our workshop sessions. And it allows time in between, because it's amazing. You'd leave with your head absolutely buzzing, loads of stuff going on. And the week then allows you to sort of untangle that. It allows the owners to untangle that. It allows us to kind of do a little bit of desk research in between and other things that are needed to kind of tease out, or if there's any other resources we want to bring in earlier on, we can bring them into some of the workshops and meetings as well. And so we allow this to unfold throughout our process, you know, as well, throughout this series of workshops. But what's also really important about that in strategic design for us is, you mentioned it earlier, you know, it's not just about a kind of transaction. They come in, we do something, and they're gone. We're really trying to embed the thinking, and we're trying to embed this sort of culture for innovation and this adaptability to change within the organization. So whilst we're there to support and facilitate the application of this process initially and how to use all our tools, we have a wonderful toolkit. I can tell you a bit about it afterwards, but so we're facilitating them to apply this into a live situation, and we bring them through the process. But by carving out those meeting times, so for example, if we meet you on a Thursday morning and we do a workshop, we try and stick to that. And what's actually happening there as well, Ashley, is we're carving out this strategy time within the organization, and we try and encourage and establish, support the owner manager in establishing that space to continue strategy work, to continue asking the big questions about what's working and what's not, you know, about looking at the company from a different way. And we provide them with tools that help them to ask themselves the questions that we would be asking. That's what the tools do. They're prompts, and they will help to put you in the right mindset and ask yourself the right questions, even when you're moving on without us, that you've carved out this space and that you're embedding this approach into the company. So that's sort of how we hope it works. Actually, that's the aim.
Brilliant. And this is all within one voucher, is that right?
Yeah, well, we would work sort of 4 to 6 weeks with one voucher, but as you know, and Richard has mentioned, there's a series of vouchers there. So depending on who it is and what's needed and what stage people are at, they can go through a series of vouchers. And like I said, we're always looking at the connectivity piece at the end with anyone else that needs to come back in, or whether a feasibility study is relevant, or innovation partnerships, or other larger supports for development of an innovation.
And I know that you've worked with a couple of businesses for Leo Tipperary. One of them was Kylie from Magnus Farm, who's been a previous guest on the podcast. Actually, she can't make it today, but I don't and you share how process worked. I think it's, you know, it's brilliant to see a smaller business and how it worked for them, you know.
Yeah. Without giving anything away of Kylie's, but just first of all, yes, we were Kylie Magner is Magner's Farm, and a very dynamic person. If you've had her on before, you'll know that she's full of ideas and she's very open to new things. She's lots of drive behind her. But Aisling was, Kylie was one of those that would have lots of ideas and lots of things all happening at once, but yet very bogged down in the daily activities of what she was doing as well. So she came through a series of workshops with us where we helped to sort of untangle a lot of those ideas and thoughts and helped her look at, holistically at where she is right now. So just get a snapshot of well, what's happening right now. And we mapped that all out visually, and it was an amazing process for her to be able to see what was there.
Yeah.
And also then to build on her ideas by playing devil's advocate with them, by thrashing them out, by turning them on their head, by using some of our tools to build on them. We could create a broader range of things for her and frame very clearly a way forward for Kylie. So there was a specific idea that came out as a result of the workshops with her. That was clearly mapped out and had sort of introduced her into the next stage of supports and funding that we helped, I suppose, cross over with her and ensure she was kind of onto the next stage of feasibility studies. So it was really interesting to work with Kylie. Like I said, multiple ideas. So it was really important for her to untangle them. And I think she loved the process. So she was very hands-on, very engaged in the process itself and how it works, because it cleared her mind. And you know, as soon as you get those ideas down, they're evaluated, or you feel they're safe, they're down there on paper or they're down there on your digital board, it frees up your mind to start thinking of other things and the next thing, you know, because otherwise you're carrying them all around in your head. And oftentimes people love that, just that release initially of getting all of this stuff out. And it doesn't have to be right or wrong, just get it out, you know, then we can work with it. And
it's like the brain dump.
Quite cathartic in its own right. And Kylie was certainly one of those with lots of ideas and loads of potential there for things to do. So it was about helping her even to sequence that into short-term aims, medium and longer-term. So, you know, so even though you may have lots of ideas, it's also about which one now, which one later, you know, and how you might sequence things and build out a plan going forward for longer-term.
That's absolutely fantastic, because you're helping people prioritize as well. Because again, when you're an entrepreneur, you know, you, like you say, your head is buzzing and you have all these ideas or things you need to get done. And sometimes it can be, oh, where do I start? So that's brilliant. You actually help prioritize.
Yeah. It's quite, like I said, it's quite an enlightening process for people to see it and to see all their stuff when it's put down in front of them into this lovely visual mapping. It can really help them sit back and discuss it and give everything, you know, proper consideration. Because, you know, sometimes they have these little ideas, but they don't go away. They're just there, you know. So we always get all of that stuff out first. And then we can all go mad on building on ideas and new ideas and all sorts of things in and around that. So, it's a very creative process. And it's a great space. I mean, obviously, from my own personal point of view, you know, I'm learning lots about all these different sectors as well, which is really good.
Yeah.
But the person themselves, they're the expert in their field. I myself and the team are experts in the facilitation of this particular approach, methodology, and these tools and how to apply them. So it's about working with both together. It's a sort of a co-creation space that we're in.
Oh, it's brilliant. And I think that's where you get the best outcomes. Yeah. And what I love about it is, you know, that it is actionable. Now, you mentioned there, you know, about the outcome of doing the innovation voucher. So for others, particularly, because obviously whatever you come up with is going to perhaps need some form of investment. Maybe not. Maybe it's just tweaking what's already there. But it does it come out in the form of a business plan or a business model, or you know, what's the result at the end of it?
And this is always a tricky thing because, as I said, innovation has unknown outcomes, which is the very nature of innovation. And that was always a challenge for us.
So yeah.
When people were coming, you know, saying, well, what do we do and what does it look like? you know, and we don't know what the end piece is. That's the very point. So, you know, I've kind of broken it down over time to sort of outputs, outcomes and impacts that sort of are typical, if you like, of this type of work. So, I mean, there's first of all, material outputs, which are things like you get your physical roadmap, you get a presentation of the process we've gone through, you get access to the toolkit with multiple innovation tools, you get copies of all the notes and your Miro boards and the workshops that have happened, and access to the actual process and methodology that we're using. So they're the kind of physical material outputs of the engagement. The outcomes are the idea that's generated, that's been framed, that's, you know, the innovative piece. What is the new idea? What is the new thing? That's whatever the outcome is. And that's obviously different for each of the companies, depending on where they are. The last one then is the impacts. So the impacts are more subjective and they're harder to communicate in some ways, and they're probably longer term. And the impacts we're trying to impart are things like we've introduced critical thinking to the company. We're trying to embed this as a process by using the toolkits and carving out the time. So you're trying to create a shared context, critical thinking. You're introducing visualization techniques of your complex data, how to visualize your complex data using these design approaches and tools. So there's these longer term impacts that hopefully are actually a really important part of the process, as well as just that one idea that's come out at that point. That's a beginning. The rest is hopefully the longer term impact of being able to replicate that process and continue to do that and continue to have your next ideas from working with us. So that's sort of how we try and communicate that piece.
Oh, it's brilliant. I think for anybody listening, there's absolutely nothing to be lost from applying for an innovation voucher, particularly when you guys yourself, you know, you are being quite innovative about how you approach the vouchers yourselves. And I think that whole co-design and co-working together really brings a great outcome from the whole project, you know. I suppose one question is, again, I don't think we're great at this in Ireland, but we do try to encourage, I hate the phrase, but, you know, senior entrepreneurship or, you know, people who are older, because, I mean, the media has you written off, let's face it, by the time you get to 36, which is crazy, you know, it's absolutely insane. So there might be people listening thinking, oh, actually, I'd love to try that. You know, they're in business a while, maybe they're of a certain age. You know, what's the age profile, or does it matter? Because I think sometimes, you know, we're always talking about HPSU startups. You know, people are looking for the holy grail, you know, the 24-year-old who knows it all kind of thing, which is just not there. So, you know, would you encourage people that are that bit older to try it as well?
I think it's a really good point, Aisling, because we work with people all ages and at all stages of the journey. So we work with, you know, people who are diversifying in business, or maybe even people coming up towards retirement, diversifying and having new things and new ideas going on in the background, all across the board. And then larger organizations, and you might have older management teams that are there. And this is really nice to kind of help freshen up the thinking and look at diversifying, look at the potential around them, look at the opportunities around them. And just to have fresh eyes, a fresh process and approach to do that can be really invigorating to a company at any stage, no matter how far they're developed. This can be a really important process for them to undergo. And we work with lots of companies like that and lots of people in the older ager category, as well as younger startups and, you know, that sort of typical sort of tech younger startup ideas and stuff. We work with a lot of that as well, but right across the board to older age profiles, but also more established, longer term companies, and also companies that have, and this is another typical Irish scenario as well, we've got these legacy businesses where they're changing hands from one generation to another. And that's a common thing as well. And, you know, approaches have been in place and things have been done in a certain way you know, for many years, and there's, you know, a next generation coming up the ranks, looking at this business and wants to look at it in their own way and look at it with fresh eyes, and we can support them in doing that. So yeah, it works right across the board, Aisling. Like I said, it's all sectors, all ages, all stages of innovation. But really, it's that strategy space. Like I said, it's the safe space to come in and thrash those ideas out, you know.
I love that phrase. Yeah, safe space, because, you know, that's what it is. And when you're an entrepreneur, sometimes it's difficult because perhaps you can't always be truly honest outside your own immediate circle, because, you know, you have to be careful what you say in public, don't you, when you're running a business. So I think the word safe space is brilliant, because it encourages you to share and learn from each other. You know, it's brilliant. So I suppose before we finish up, if somebody's thinking about going for an innovation voucher, what do they need to do? And particularly if they'd like to work with you guys, you know, in this more kind of holistic, that it's not just a research type project.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd encourage anyone to reach out to us at the Design Plus Technology Gateway in IT Carlow. And I'm more than happy to go on. I often would have a quick chat with people first and just talk to them a little bit about the process and some examples, and we talk a little bit about where they are themselves, and sort of we can create a kind of a plan together and you know, take it from there, and we're very happy to do that. So we'd encourage people to come along and, like I said, just chat to us. They don't need to have a specific idea or, you know, be at a particular point, like I said, in that journey. It's open to everyone to come and look for those opportunities around them and for us to help make those actionable. So reach out to us at Design Plus Technology Gateway in IT Carlow, or through any of their local enterprises. We'll be able to direct them to us, and we can support the application for the innovation voucher and check eligibility or anything else that's required, and support the application process. The process has been made particularly easy and accessible for companies to be able to very quickly apply for these, as opposed to some of the larger grants and funding that would have a far bigger process of application. These are particularly accessible and a really great way for people to begin this journey and to start them into not only the supports of all of the skill sets, but the financial supports that can come with it as well on the development journey.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks so much, Lynn. That was absolutely fantastic. If you'd like to know more, as Lynn was saying, you can get in touch with them direct in Carlow IT, or you can have a quick look in advance at the Enterprise Ireland Innovation Voucher Programme via their website, which is enterprise-ireland.com/innovation-vouchers.
Thanks very much, Aisling.
Thanks to our guests today, Richard White and Lynn Whelan of Design Plus, based at Carlow IT. Also, thank you very much, as always, to Ita Horan and Madeline Ryan, based back in Leo Tipperary. You can talk to Leo Tipperary on Twitter or Instagram at Leo Tipperary. As mentioned previously, you can find out about the Enterprise Ireland Innovation Voucher Programme via their website, enterprise-ireland.com/innovation-vouchers. You can reach Lynn or Richard via Design Plus on their website, which is designplus.ie. And you can talk to us over on Instagram or Twitter at TBF Central. You can reach the Leo Tipperary team on localenterprise.ie/Tipperary, or get in touch with them on Instagram or Twitter at Leo Tipperary. Thank you all for listening. Bye for now.
The SME Community Podcast is an initiative by Tipperary Local Enterprise Office. It is produced by the Business Ferry Digital Marketing Agency, and it's hosted by me, Aisling Hurley. You can talk to us on Twitter at TBF Central, and you can also talk to Tipperary Local Enterprise Office on Leo Tipperary.